Blog Talk Radio. So welcome to Spec Talk Radio. This is Karen Rand, your host today. This is the Southeast Private Equity Communities radio show. They come together with investors and entrepreneurs to learn how to grow businesses and create wealth. It's sponsored by the Launch Funding Network, launchfn.com, where we provide consulting services to entrepreneurs that are seeking to grow their business and connect with capital. Debt and equity, and the NBAI, the Network of Business Angels and Investors, nbai.net. And I have a special co-host with me here today, Ken Brown. Say hello, Ken.
Hello. How are you, Karen? It's always nice when I'm not interviewing people. I get to talk a little bit more.
Yeah,
so
no.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, so Ken, it is, this is a unique show, and here's kind of why this show came about, because, you know, a lot of times we interview folks specific to, you know, raising capital or something like that, but I have been a long-term user of some other social networking kind of sort of systems that we'll talk about, and as I was progressing and trying to really get things going and drive awareness of what we do within Launch FN and within the angel investor community, Ken became my advisor and coach in that area because he was doing all this great stuff with some of the new media, with blogs and podcasts. I was like, how do you do that? Can you teach me? And he said, sure. So a lot of the stuff I know is because Ken led me down the path to learn that stuff. So Ken, you know, briefly tell our audience how you got started and kind of what you've done with creating wikis and your own online communities and what some of those websites are for the things that you're doing.
Certainly. I've been in sales for over 20 years, and I've been in a situation where you're getting in your car and it takes 30, 45 minutes to get to somebody, and then you go see them, and they're not as excited to see you as you are to see them. And thinking that you have 30 minutes or an hour and maybe something happens, you have to take a phone call, she has to take a phone call, and the meeting ends, and you have no sale. So when you're self-employed, you've got to figure out ways to sell more and market yourself and get your name out there. And things have changed. There was a time when you could knock on a door and say, man, speak to Mr. Business Owner or Ms. Business Owner. But things have changed. You can't, if you get on the door, good luck, because there's going to be a sign, no soliciting. You can't make a call anymore because you got voicemail. You can't put ads in, and maybe the advertisers don't want to hear this, but you can't necessarily put ads in newspapers and magazines and radio and expect people to get your message. People are bombarded 600 to 3,000 messages every day. And you've got to cut through that. And so I would call that, and HubSpot talks about this in their seminars or webinars, is that it's push marketing. You're interrupting them so they can listen to you, so you can sell them. And so I want to be in a position where I'm being discovered. And what you want to do, what you should do, is start attracting people to you and making yourself different. When you're in sales, you've got to be different. You have to be unique. So people will take a moment and say, okay, who are you and how can you help me? And you do that by start building a web presence. And people now are doing a lot of searches on Google and Yahoo. And the question you need to ask yourself is, what is my web presence? And you have two choices, and I'll share this with Karen. You can either have the web define you or you define your web presence yourself. And you got to take control. Instead of being a guest on a show, you create your own show and you create your own content. And so the challenge I would have to you, and it's a long way of answering the question, is that when somebody does a search on your name, what kind of results do they get? When they do a search on your company, what kind of results do they get? When they do searches on those keywords that define what you actually do, what results do you get? Now, if you're not on the first page above the fold, guess what? Somebody else is getting the business. So if you want to create that business, if you want to get more business, you've got to start not only being an expert in your business and being an expert in sales, but you've got to, in some ways, embrace the technology and learn what you can do with this medium. So I said, I remember my friend of mine, Brent Leary, said, you got to start blogging. I'm like, man, I got to run a business. I don't have time to blog. He said, no, you got to do a blog. Okay, fine. So I started doing a blog, and blogging is nice because it helps you define your message. And you really have to understand what you want to communicate and the value proposition that you have. So I started doing that. A couple days, actually within the next month, he said, I told you about blogging, but now you got to start doing podcasting. I'm like, no, look, I'm doing the blog, okay? Let me get going on that. So I salute or say it's Brent Leary's reason why I'm doing all this stuff. But if you're not blogging, if you're not doing podcasting, if you're not submitting articles, if you're not doing some of the things on the social media like Twitter and Facebook, I'm sure we'll talk about this, you're not going to be found on the internet. You're not building your web presence. It's not good enough to put an ad or to call somebody or send an email or send a letter or a postcard or even go to networking sites. So new day, new way, you've got to attract people to you and you have to be interesting.
Right. Well, that's it. You know, you got me started with the blogs and you got me started, you know, doing this radio show, doing the podcast. And I still, you know, the jury's still out on blogs and the direct impact that they have on folks, because you got to drive traffic to them. And so one of the things that, you know, you got to get your target audience to look at your blog, right? So one of the things that I found since you finally, you know, twisted my arm and nudged me and got me to go do some of these other things like Facebook and Twitter, you know, my first reaction, I've been on LinkedIn for years. I've got, oh gosh, I think I have over 2,000 people connected to me on LinkedIn. And I get you know, business out of LinkedIn, you know, new business comes in every week off of my connections on LinkedIn. So I'm well versed, and there's certain things you can do, you know, with LinkedIn. If you are in LinkedIn and connecting with people, one of the things that you can do is to have open, you know, set your account to be open so people can email you directly in that, and you can receive things directly. They're limited. LinkedIn limits how many you can do in a day, and they charge you a premium if you want to do more than five at a time. You know, and that's kind of how they make their money. But, you know, So when you were, like, pushing me to go do Facebook, I was like, okay, well, whatever. And my daughter had been, you know, wanting to get a Facebook account. And I was like, well, look, you can set up mine, you know. So she went and initially took the content out of my LinkedIn and copied and pasted from a profile stuff into Facebook. And the first thing I did was I looked at Facebook and I thought, this is LinkedIn with pictures, you know. I mean, this is, well, I don't get it. You can't personalize it like you can MySpace. And I really didn't understand the value proposition for it until somebody all the way back from high school found me on there, and I thought, how do you do that? You know, I mean, how'd you do that? So he told me how he did it. We chatted through the chat room function, and I quickly became a fan of Facebook and connecting with people, because one of the things that Facebook does that LinkedIn does not do, because LinkedIn, you can send somebody, if they've set their profile up to be, you know, to receive emails, you can contact them directly, but they still, you know, you're not really connected to them, or you're not really, you know, it's not an interactive type of environment. On Facebook, what I found on Facebook, and I tried this when I came back from a venture conference, and what the keynote was a guy from one of the big technology companies, and he was talking about how in this day and age you got to be on these social media sites. So I went to Facebook when I got home, and I keyed in a couple of people's names that are sort of the players in Atlanta or players in the venture capital space, and they were all on Facebook. And the difference was that I could connect directly to them almost instantly, and Facebook almost has an environment where people go, yeah, bring it on. Let's connect, you know. I mean, it's very open with connecting. And then I could look at their groups. I could see a picture of somebody I knew or something, which was easier than sort of sorting through LinkedIn to get them. And I could connect directly to that person. I gave a little message as to why I wanted to connect to them. And guess what? They connected with me. And so I was amazed at how well that you could do it. I still struggle to figure out how to turn it into business. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But the fundamental difference I found between LinkedIn and Facebook from a business standpoint is that LinkedIn is much easier if you want to find somebody specific in a company that you want to connect to, or, you know, by company or by keywords or certain things that they do, it's much easier to find them. In Facebook, you're kind of limited to find them by name and maybe by university. You can kind of do that. It's hard to find people by companies. It's hard to find. You can't do them by city. You can't, you know, if you pull up Karen Rands, amazingly enough, I didn't know there were like over 100 Karen Randses in the world. And so you can't do Karen Rands in Atlanta to actually find me. And, you know, one of the downsides is that I chose to use a different email than I do for my regular business. So most people have my business email, so they wouldn't be able to find me by my email either. You know, you can get me in there at randbach@bellsouth.net. But it's like, you know, so there's a little, there's some downsides. So you got to really understand how to navigate and use Facebook. And so as you've been, you know, because you've been doing this longer than I have, Ken, what are some of the you know, the tips? Well, first of all, I like to say, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, I've talked to people all the time about, you know, getting onto Facebook, and they're like, well, why do I want to be on Facebook? That's for kids or whatever. Well, no, there's a statistic I saw, a thing that came out just recently, that it's growing by 600,000 users a day. And that means that there's 15 million pieces of content are shared each and every month within Facebook. I mean, it's huge. So
right.
If you've got any kind of business that you're trying to drive awareness of, any kind of online environment that you have, a product you're selling online, a website you have online, you want to establish, you know, your expertise. Expertise gets established through blogs and the podcast, but you want to drive traffic to your blogs and podcasts. Facebook ends up being one of the, and then we're going to get into Twitter, but being one of the easiest ways to directly connect to a group of people that care about what you have to say because they're connected to you, to be able to promote things that you're doing. And I think we're going to have some guest speakers come in a little bit that will add to it. But what has been, what, give us a success story that you've had where you've been able to promote something on Facebook perhaps and you were able to get some results from people wanting to get information from you, maybe because I know you're doing a lot more with, you get a lot of downloads. Your downloads on your podcast is phenomenal. What's your podcast site, Kim?
Well, the best way to go there would be to go to bettersalesandprofitsnow.com. That's Better Sales and Profits Now. And in one of the sections, it's podcast blogs and wikis. And you go click there, and then you'll find my podcast. But I get an average of 3,000 to 5,000. Matter of fact, I think last week on one day, I got like 4,300 downloads in one day. But what I'm doing on Facebook is just letting people know what I do and how to reach me and some of my business. And I guess the downloads come from that. I just let people know. For example, you can, on your profile page, people, they ask the question in Facebook and also on Twitter, what are you doing right now? Well, you can set it up and let people know what you're doing. You wrote an article or right now I did a post on Twitter, and it went to Facebook on what I'm doing right now. I'm saying I'm being interviewed by Karen Rands to Twitter or not right now. And I gave Karen's URL, so anybody that wants to listen in right now can listen to her show. So it's a way of establishing great connections and people that are there. I think you got 2,000 people on Facebook. I have less than 100, like 85 friends. But I'll probably use this.
Oh, no, my Facebook's more like maybe a couple hundred. I haven't
okay.
Quite
okay.
Still
that's, account
sorry, connecting
that,
on
I'm
that.
Sorry, that's LinkedIn 2000. You have Facebook. You have.
Getting there, though.
Yeah, but
so,
I
now,
mean,
well,
there's
tell,
so many things
you
can do here.
Yeah, that's one of those things that, you know, when and one of the things that is also interesting, we'll focus on Facebook, and then we'll switch over to Twitter here in just a second, but one of the things that I found on Facebook that's really interesting is because they have these different applications that you can include. And if you go find these applications, they make your Facebook more, I mean, a lot of them are fun and goofy, but there's also, you know, other little sub-communities that you can join that are, have to do with entrepreneurism or have to do with, you know, advertising or sales techniques or, you know, other kinds. They're pretty easy to set these other little sub-communities up, and then people, you know, opt into that and get information via that. So it becomes something very good, very easy to promote a certain aspect of your business when you're, you know, doing that within Facebook. And one of the things that I found that I decided that was a key difference between LinkedIn and Facebook, or, you know, even Plaxo, that's been around for a long time, Plaxo is probably the low man on the totem pole, is and doing regular like internet marketing and email marketing is that, you know, the traditional methods for marketing a product or establishing yourself as an expert is that you drive traffic to a landing page or a squeeze page,
right,
and people opt in and you build your list, you know, and you build a list of people that are interested in what you do. And we do that now with my angel investor book, my Learn to Be an Angel Investor series, right? So people are opting in to get excerpts, and it's sort of an autopilot kind of a program. And then, you know, you create these blast emails about some new product or a seminar or something like that. And the problem with that is like what you talked about earlier, you know, people get all these emails, and it's like I probably get 400 or 500 emails. Well, probably 400 emails a day. And so it's sometimes really hard to, you know, pay attention when you're busy and you're getting interruptions, or you're away from the office, you're email all day long, and then you just forget, you miss some emails, right?
Right.
Well, the thing that, and you also know, if you're savvy about this, you know, for the most part, a lot of times it's auto-generated. So it's not near as personal. It's just sort of blasting some information out. Well, there's an internet marketer that I've been associated with for years, and you know, he'll send out something to try to establish that personal connection with people every once in a while, like, you know, here's my holiday pictures, what I'm doing with my daughter, taking time to do holiday, and I know that it's kind of going out and it's sort of impersonal, and I'm in his group and we're connected on Facebook, and the other day he posted new pictures of his daughter, you know, cutting her hair for Locks of Love, and you know, it immediately made an emotional connection with me that, wow, here's the dad of him, and it's real. And so I think Facebook allows you to establish your personality within your business as the CEO or something, that people know that you've got these hobbies or something to connect to you on a whole other level, even though it's creating the emotional connection of the internet that we don't get when we're so distant and we're working away from each other and we're, you know, all through electronic communication. But Facebook allows us to create an emotional connection with a constituency, an audience that we want to reach. So, you know, when it comes time to promote a radio show like you did, you know, people know based on the other things you put up there that you're a real person. You're not just some guy that's hammering away at, you know, you have passion about what it is that you do. You're able to convey that within a Facebook community a whole lot better than you can with just words on a page that you can do in LinkedIn or something else. So I see it when you, and a little bit later on, I think Andrew Windham is going to call in because he's had some great success in promoting, you know, very specific stuff and building his list within Facebook to be able to do that. So I see it as a way of you invest the time to put the right people in there and connect it the right way that you can really, you know, develop a core group of potential customers or potential referral partners that you can, you know, drive traffic to your blog or your website or your business or whatever business that you're doing. So
yeah, people rob banks. I say, why do people rob banks? Well, that's where the money is. You have to go where specifically your target market is. And so if there are your target market participates in Facebook or Twitter, then you need to be on there. And if there's, you know, millions and maybe billions at this point, people in specific communities, you've got to target and take some time to put some information out. What I like about Facebook is that you have the ability to put a profile on. And on your profile, you can list your websites or different links or podcasts or whatever, and people can just center right now, bam, and find out more about you. And you got the pictures, you got videos, and people can really figure out who you are and what you're about and what your passion is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, switching over to sort of like Twitter, because I'm brand spanking new baby on Twitter, okay, because you've been pushing me on that for a while. I finally did it, you know, a few days ago. And, again, it was like I'm kind of looking at this going, okay, you know, part of the reason why I've been researching all these different things is because as the launch of our funding planet, I wanted to understand what makes these different web communities compelling. Why do people spend time on those communities? You know, LinkedIn, you get in and you get done, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're just getting
right
in there and, you know, getting through my email, but I don't spend time, you know, around there. Whereas on Facebook, I end up spending time on there having fun. And
okay.
And then as a result, it was great because I had this one large investor that we are working on a movie deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And hadn't been able to connect up with him via regular email. He had, you know, hadn't been responding to my emails, but I knew that he was, based on, you know, the last conversation, he was very interested, but a week or two had gone by. And so I was on Facebook, and he was on there too. And he was in my little pop-up thing that he was on live. So I messaged him about what was going on, and he was like, oh, sorry, I've been meeting her out of town, whatever it was. And he, you know, back and forth, we did this thing. And for like, you know, like you were talking, you know, where he probably didn't want, he necessarily wanted to take a call because he was working on something, but I could interrupt him on Facebook. You know what I mean? I could interrupt him, and he responded back and told me the status of the project and where they were in the investment cycle. And I could report back to my client on where we were because of Facebook. You know, I mean, that I was like, wow. That was another reason why it became readily apparent that, you know, being able to connect on some of these people. I had an investment fund here in town that, you know, I leave him messages talking about our event, and I know he's traveling all the time. He was on Facebook one time when I was on there, and so I was like, oh, so you're going to come to our event? You know, it's really good. We got some great companies. Da, da, da. And he goes, oh, I really want to come, but, you know, I'm going to the Georgia Tech game. Well, see, now I know he's not just blowing me off, you know, because he doesn't want to come. He actually really, you know, has something. He goes, but I might, you know, the game gets over earlier, it's boring, I'll come on by. And I'm like, yeah, right. You know, you're going to do that. You know, sure enough, like 2 days later, there's a picture of him at the Georgia Tech game. You know, it's like, yeah, you're going to leave the Georgia Tech game early to go to my event. But thank you for at least saying that, you know. So
what I hear you saying is the phone doesn't work anymore, emails don't work anymore, but Twitter and Facebook do.
Yeah.
People tapped into those communities.
So now the thing with Twitter,
they do.
And the thing that's interesting about Twitter is I don't have a clue because I'm so new at it on, you know, who all some of these people are, or how do you connect? How do you go out and get people? I mean, I know you can click on them and you can, like, but why do I want to be with this person or that person or whatever it is? And I also see in Facebook a lot of times where people are doing their updates from Twitter. It's from Twitter and it's in Facebook. So there's some little techniques on the way they interact with each other. So, you know, tell our listeners, you know, how you've been able to make your Twitter account connect with your Facebook so it's you don't have to enter stuff in two places at one time.
Just go, if you're on Facebook, just go to the search option and put Twitter in, and then you'll be able to select Twitter. And if you have a Twitter account, it will connect you. And so anytime you do a Twitter update in terms of what you're doing, that will automatically appear on your profile. So actually, your wall, actually. Let me see. I'm looking. But it appears on – let me see. Where is this? This is actually, it appears on your home section, also your profile, so people can figure out what you're doing right now, and it's really, really nice. Because people, when they first look for your name and your page, typically your home section is going to come up, and right there, you'll have your Twitter updates, which is outstanding, and they can find more about you there. So, did I answer that question for you?
You sure did. So that comes into, you know, certain applications, because one of the things I was trying to put my Blog Talk Radio onto Facebook as well, and I couldn't figure out how to do that, you know. And there's a function within Facebook or an application within Facebook where you can add your own HTML. And so whether it's, you know, they automatically integrate being able to do like a YouTube video or uploading videos in there. But you can take whenever you have something that you've got and you got a little bit of HTML code, you can copy and paste it and you put it into that and say whether you want it to be on your profile or in your boxes page, which is another tab up top. And you can, you know, put that, and so my Blog Talk Radio now shows up on my Facebook, so people can click on that and listen to the radio show, or really usually the replays of the radio show, but they can learn more about that. So, you know, the trick to making these online communities really do a whole lot more than what they look do at face value is the use of the applications and kind of spending just a little time navigating it. And that kind of with Twitter, you know, Twitter, when you first go into it, it's kind of like, okay, this is like you can't see the profile. I mean, how do you do this? I don't know how to connect to people. Do I just click on them? And that, you know, what is this stuff? And since, you know, announcing this thing, there's a number apparently within Twitter how you make Twitter really come alive for you as a resource and a tool to communicate out to the web.
Oh yeah,
is
definitely,
by
definitely
using all these different little applications. Have there been little applications that you found that have been successful for you on Twitter?
Oh yeah. There's a few. Let's define what Twitter is. Twitter is basically, Well, we talked about blogging, but Twitter is a micro-blogging tool. You have 140 characters that you use to answer the question, what are you doing, which sounds kind of hokey. But you just say, hey, this is what I'm doing. And what I do is I use Twitter to let people know what I'm doing, but I'm also letting them know what my clients are doing, what my strategic partners are doing, so I want to promote them and their business. I also use Twitter to get into the heads and the minds of the movers and shakers in the business community, whether they're in the internet or new media. I'm just interested in terms of what are they reading, what are they investigating, what tools are they're using in their business. And so what I've been able to do is tap into their brains, and it's really nice because you're building another community. And that's, you know, I'm going to go to Twitter. I typically will add something to Twitter once or twice or three times a day. And when I'm on there, I'll especially on at night and on the weekends, I'll review some things. And I find some really nice websites, some other tools, some great people, and have some great conversations.
Okay. Well, that leads into
Twitter. But can I mention one more thing?
Sure.
You can have on your blog, if you set it up right and they have the application, anytime you're doing something in Twitter, it automatically can go to your blog as the same with Facebook.
Oh, see, that's a productivity tool because then you do it one time and it you know, puts it all these other places. And when I was on there trying to sort of figure this out and kind of look and see who's important and who I want to follow and stuff, I stumbled on this guy, Jeremiah, I'm not sure if I say his last name right, Ouyang, O-W-Y-A-N-G. And he apparently has been on Twitter for years, like 4 or 5 years. He's got, you know, tens of thousands, like I think 25,000 plus following him.
Wow.
And he had an up in his little profile. He's got a link to his blog where it talks about how I use Twitter and you. And one of the things that I've kind of found that sort of, you know, the downside to some of these sites is the micro blogging that people do where they're given, like, I'm having this really great cup of coffee, you know, things like that. And, you know, it's like, thanks for sharing that. But the things that he talks about, and you can, you know, you can go, if I'm not sure how, we'll put links to some of these different things that we're talking about on the, when this gets loaded up on our blog, on entrepreneurblogspace.com, and I'm sure Ken will probably load it up on his site as well. What's your site for people to go to get your information like this?
What, Twitter updates, or is that what you're
doing? Well, no, you're going to post this podcast, and then you'll have
yeah,
the web
definitely.
Links.
Yeah,
what type would that be?
Well, it was e3c.podomatic.com. That's e3c.podomatic.com.
Yeah.
But certainly you can go to my Better Sales and Profits Now, which is my coaching website, and look for podcast blogs, wikis, presentation, and more, and you'll find the podcast link on that page.
Yeah. So one of the things that he talks about is, you know, all the plus side, right, of you know, creating a chat room, but, you know, using it when you've been in an event, you've got something relevant to share for it, and real quick, being able to do a microblog. Here's the three things I got out of this seminar on Facebook yesterday or something like that, mm-hmm. right? And then what he doesn't use it for, and I think this is sort of when, you know, we've got this whole thing about cell phone etiquette. Well, one of the things that's going to end up happening with Twitter etiquette is that, you know, the personal minutia. You know, he says, I rarely talk about waking up, eating lunch, or starting my car. Instead, I want to add value.
I'm least
right?
been interested in that. Yeah, I want to learn something from this other person. So I'm not really interested in that. Now, I will get on and say I'm exercising or smiling and dialing because I want people to know I'm reading some article or something. But it's not that kind of.
Yeah.
Too much
but
personal information.
Exactly, and I think that's the way. If you want people following you, it's by creating value that they're going to want to follow you. If you're putting a bunch of junk out there, they're going to ask not to follow you anymore because they don't want to get that stuff because sometimes it gets delivered to their cell phone and everywhere else. So we're going to talk about some of these applications that are useful, but we've got a caller here that's called in and see if they want to share some of their experiences. Hello, is this Andrew? Hello? 111, you're on the air.
Okay. Well, as we're trying to figure that out, there's a really great application that HubSpot has. It's called Twitter Grader. And if once you get on Twitter, if you want to see how good you are in Twitter, then one way to do that is to go to Twitter. I think it's twitter.grader.com. And when you do that, you can get your grade. But also what's good about that, you find out the movers and shakers, the people that are getting 100% on Twitter. And you can do some really interesting things, find out who the Twitter elite are and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So. Well, I got this email from SitePro News, and they gave 16 applications for Twitter. And that was listed as one of those applications, Twitter Grader. And it measures the reach and authority of a Twitter user, calculated by the pace of their updates, the completeness of their profile, and the number of followers and the network power of those followers.
Right.
Okay. Then there's also there's Twitter Fox, which using Firefox, you can, within your browser, put something into your browser that connects to your Twitter, and therefore, if you got it connected with your Twitter, it connects to all those other places. So that's
so you don't have to actually go to.
Yeah, you don't even have to log in and do it.
Right, yeah.
Okay? And then there's, similar to the Grader, there's a Classify Twitter users where another one that's a great tool. It helps, I guess this one helps you weed out any of the Twitter spammers kind of folks, because that's always a concern once you get this stuff going. And then there's TwitPic, where you can actually upload pictures and share them that way. So that's kind of where it's kind of going into that Facebook community a little bit.
Right.
And Truffer, which is a Twitter buffer that allows Twitter's users to compose a list of future tweets and schedule their releases. So that's really good if you're trying to promote some kind of an event or you're trying to do something, but you're busy and you don't want to do it every day or every something like you're getting ready, you got a countdown to a launch of a new product or a new book that's coming out, to be able to, once you've built your profile, you got lots of followers, to be able to use these tools to be able to, you know, another productivity girl, so productivity tool, so that's called Truffer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there's another one that I tweet, which is a auto refresh for searching hashtags, and you know users can view and post user bio locations and URLs in line with their tweets.
Oh, yeah,
and so there's Twitterly, which is kind of like Dig, where people can vote for a URL. And so there's apparently, you know, there's a whole other world of folks that are putting Twitter thingies out there. Twitter search,
one of my
challenges is Twitter search is finding the people that I want. So based on keywords and certain topics that they've posted on, and you want to go
right.
and get those kind of information. So I think one of the real secrets of success of using either Twitter or, you know, Facebook or any of these kind of things is being able to be able to understand what some of the productivity tools are so you can customize
right.
them to meet your business needs.
Right. I mean, it's so funny. I put a post in Twitter about a virtual assistant, and I got, I think, three messages and three follows from people that are virtual assistants. And I'm like, and I didn't. I was new. I said, how did you do this? I just did it on Twitter search, and your post came up, and that's why I want to connect with you. Isn't that phenomenal? And so the key to selling is you got to figure out where people are and what their needs are. And, you know, this it's better than Yellow Pages, better than picking up the phone, better than emailing, that you'll find out, oh, this person's talking about virtual assistants. I want to let him know that I'm a virtual assistant. So if he needs one or if he knows people that need one, he's going to know who I am because he's going to follow me on Twitter, hopefully. And it happens. It's just phenomenal.
So if any of our listeners out there have certain experiences or applications they've used or certain success stories they've used in using some of these new media and want to call in, please do that at 347-945-6873. We do have one person that's called in, but your mic's open in case you decide you want to add some comments. But we'll
I'd be careful on that.
So... yeah, I can always turn the mic off, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's so you know, there's a lot that I think you know that it's not these things aren't just for kids. They're not just for people that you know have nothing better to do in their life. They can actually use these as really good business tools to help build their environments and build you know promote whatever they're doing, their expertise in a certain area, or promote a product that they're offered or. You know, figuring out how to use it, incorporating it into a marketing strategy to, you know, get the word out about stuff are all good. Now, do you have any experience with MySpace?
No, because I don't think my clients or prospects are going to be in MySpace. But let me point out, there's a couple things, or at least one thing I can think of, that's out of the box thinking that corporations have adopted Twitter. And so, if, and matter of fact, there's Zappos and JetBlue, they're active on Twitter. Even CNN's on Twitter. But if you want to connect with people and update them on maybe there's an outage, and I think Comcast has a Twitter account, you put it on Twitter and people are following you, encourage them to follow, so they'll know exactly what's going on with the service. Or maybe you have a problem with JetBlue was late, or you weren't happy with Zappos, and if they're following you, you're following them. It's a good way to communicate with them, information and contacts, and be a resource for them. And that's what I want to use Twitter for. That's why I want my clients to be on Twitter, so they know what I'm reading, what I'm listening to, what I'm watching. So just besides me speaking with them on a weekly basis, they really get a sense of who I am and what resources they have, and they can plug in and learn. But I just wanted to point out that corporations are using Twitter. As a matter of fact, one of my clients is engaging governments to have Twitter accounts to let their constituency, people that provide service, know what's going on. So you need to use this technology that's out there. And HubSpot, I tout them because they're a great company. Talk about, you can either use your budget or your brains when you're marketing, selling, and providing service. Which one would you prefer? If times are tight, money's tight, start getting smarter what you're doing.
Well, you know, one of the things, too, that I think we saw, particularly in this last election, I know you've done a little bit of research on it, is that, you know, it was interesting. Well, how was it that Barack Obama announced his VP, right? Did he announce his VP through?
He announced his whole presidency on YouTube. Yeah, I mean, on video. I mean, he just put it out there, say, hey, I'm running for office. Get ready.
Well, I thought he did something maybe with on Twitter or Facebook or something like that. He had announced his VP, so you know people heard it there.
Oh yeah,
heard it on the news.
Absolutely, everybody that's, matter of fact, I think I'm connected with Barack Obama too. But he has anytime there's an event or something he's doing, he was connected. I can't remember what the going number. Okay. He's got, I wrote this article a little while ago, but it's 130,000 followers, you know. And then he was following, you know, close to 135,000 people, you know. So everybody's getting his tweets, his messages, his updates. And so that's one way to connect with people. Hey, you know, follow me or join me. I'll let you know some exclusive information on what I'm doing. And that's tantalizing too, so.
So good. So,
but I can expound on how he's using, you know, all this stuff. I mean, he got elected. People didn't say, "Wow, this guy is a U.S. senator, not much political, a national exposure." But this guy raised millions upon millions of dollars. I think $300 million in the primary.
Right.
That's phenomenal. Because he was able to connect. He's got a YouTube account. He's on Twitter. He's on Facebook. I think he's got like a million people on Facebook. And, I mean, he just adopted this internet strategy, and I think it worked fairly well for him. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess so, you know. And, you know, one of the things he might have done, I don't know, you know, it'd be interesting to research on this, because I did find that there was another application that's used for Twitter where you can make it into an e-commerce site. It's called TwitPay.
Yep.
And it was Lance that's over at the ATTC did a little Twitter on it right before this. And I saw that he was referenced in there or something like that. But it's a thing called TwitPay. And you basically, yep, you know, go into TwitPay and it will send money to the person that and their Twitter account. So if
right.
you're selling a book or you're selling some service or you're selling something or whatever it might be, or even something hokey like, you know, whatever you're, you know, selling, who knows, downloads,
yeah, I
music downloads or something, you know,
right,
you can use an application like TwitPay and be able to connect with the folks that way. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's there is just all kinds of of different applications that are out there that folks can use to make it more effective. And we do have a caller.
I love getting paid.
I do like getting paid. The only reason why I spend time doing this stuff is not for the love of fun, but no, and it's not necessarily for the love of money. But it is, you know, there is, at the end of the day, I'd like to be able to have more time to do the things I want to do, and that's only because I don't have to trade hours for dollars. So,
and you can if you maximize technology.
Yes, that's very true. We have a caller here, 3990. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, Karen, you talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Hey, it's Tom Newell.
Hi, Tom. How are you? Welcome.
Hey, I'm doing great. You doing all right today?
I'm doing very good. Thanks for calling in and joining us.
Well, I just jumped in the middle of the stream listening to you guys talk about Twitter and interesting conversation you're having.
Well, we've been talking a little bit about Facebook. We started out talking about LinkedIn and tips for using that and how it's been a good business tool for me. And then Ken kind of pushing me towards doing Facebook and blogging, all these kind of things. And I got onto Facebook and have, you know, slowly in the process of converting that into a way to directly connect and reach out to a constituency that cares about what you're doing. And then sort of productivity tools that Twitter offers that allows you to update your blog and Facebook and everything from just going straight in with one time. You don't have to go to five different sites and do an update or a posting. You can use tools within Twitter to do that. So what's been your experience in using Facebook and Twitter and some of these new media sites?
Well, now that you just mentioned it, I'm actually surprised that you're not on my friends list on Facebook. That's number one. We got to fix that today.
Yeah.
And I think, Ken, you're in my friends list on my Facebook account. So it's good to hear your voice too, my brother. But I'm loving social media, guys. I tell you, I'm a total Twitterholic now. And, you know, my friend Mari Smith and some of the, you know, Dr. Deb, or Coach Deb, and Warren Whitlock. Warren just wrote a book called The Twitter Revolution. So let me put a little pitch in for Warren. But the process of tweeting for me is, I mean, I can't get away from it because I'm so connected now with people across the country in Australia, in Singapore. And I've only been online tweeting for about a month and a half since Armin Morin's event here in Atlanta. And I have made some of the most solid business contacts that I've ever made in my whole life out here meeting people face-to-face. It is a powerful, powerful connection tool. There's a way to use it properly, and there's a way not to use it. And the way I don't particularly like seeing people use it is trying to sell stuff all the time, where every tweet they put out there, and there's some people that do it, you know, on a regular basis, but they're always, you know, providing a link to something that's a sales page. And that's really not what people are wanting. They're wanting to get to know you. They want to hear how your day is going. You're right. They want to be involved. If they're following you, they're curious about what you're doing, and vice versa. And so I was able to log on this morning. I was talking to Ken MacArthur. I was talking to a friend of mine in California, the self-esteem queen. I mean, it's like five people I connected with, bam, just like that, 15 minutes. And I had, you know, refreshed my day with these folks.
And so then how do you take that, like if you were talking to, can you create a such a, almost like a chat environment with the three or four of you all talking together at the same time? Is there a way that you do that within Twitter?
Well, you
can see the updates.
yeah, you can see the updates, but you can't really, now what you can do is you can see the pound sign and create a separate group, and that group can then be tweet-ups within themselves, too. So that's another facet of Twitter, which I haven't totally explored yet. That's my next, you know, iteration I've got to get into. But when you have, like, a meeting, like when you have the event in April, I think you're going to have it for the investor conference.
Sure, SPEC.
We can do, you know, a pound, you know, SPEC, and everybody who's there that's hooked into Twitter can be literally communicating on an ongoing basis while the event's happening, either on-site, off-premises, or wherever they're located at, and be getting those live feeds. You know,
interesting.
What was really cool to me was when the attack happened in Mumbai, someone immediately created a Twitter account called Mumbai Updates was what it was called, and they were literally tweeting, you know, information. And at one point, the governor had to ask them to stop sending out information because it was letting the terrorists know too much information. They you know, it was like providing them with information as to far as logistics and when the police are arriving and so on and so forth. So it's become so instantaneous in its response capabilities that it's taken on a whole new level of proportions out there, other than just hooking up or talking or communicating. But I wind up personally. I mean, I wind up being at the JVL event with Kim MacArthur in October as a speaker because I met Ken online with Twitter.
Yeah, Karen, can I mention one thing? We're talking about Twitter. If you want to find out more information about how this thing works, there's a free report by Joel Kahn, and we'll try to put it on the podcast of this. But you can just go to free report, free Twitter report, Joel Kahn. That's JOELCOMM, and there's a free Twitter report that you can get.
Okay.
I think it's 100 ideas on how to use Twitter.
Okay, well, what I need to, well, I'm going to send over the links for some of these other things that people have talked about, and Tom, send me the links for some of these things you've talked about, and we're going to add them to the post for this podcast for people that come to listen to it after the fact.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much for them to learn. And with Facebook, I mean, I love Facebook because it's really, you know, for me, it's a deeper connection with people, and I get to, you know, put my photographs on there, who I'm hanging out with, and my family and my dog, and, you know, and people can get to know me without really knowing me, but they get to peek into my world. And, you know, I call it like taking a test drive with someone. You know, if you want to see, if you're talking about hiring a speaker for your next event, you want to see how they perform, you know, you go and click on the videos on the Facebook link, and they may be linked back up to YouTube or wherever you're storing them at, a photo bucket or what have you. And
besides looking at the website, you can check their Facebook account or LinkedIn profile and really figure out who this person is. It's part of your research that you should do.
Yeah, and Ken, don't you think, too, people really need to build out that Facebook account more and give more information. What are they reading? What do they like? Hobbies?
Right.
You know, not just surface stuff. I mean, go ahead and open up the door and let people see who you really are. In this day and time, there's got to be some news of difference, or you're not going to make a difference. They're going to see you as the same old, and people need to perceive that you're different, have a value add to their life and to their equation, and they want to connect with you and maybe purchase from you or hire you for your services.
Yeah, and there's a application called, it's TWINGR.com, I believe. It's TWINGR, and you can build your own Twitter community. So maybe, Tom, you might want to take a look at that, that you can have develop your
That's
own
sweet.
Community. Within. Yeah, so I just want to put that out to you because you said that it would be nice that you have that one forum that you guys can center on and have conversations with.
Oh, yeah. You know, another thing, too, we just are finding out a lot of the guys out there, you know, like John Reese and others, you know, they're on their Facebook account. They're hitting, there's a 5,000 maximum people that can be on your friends list in Facebook. And so everybody's doing now is converting to a fans list. So if you're thinking about this ahead of time, you might want to, instead of having people be your friends, have them be your fans. And there's an unlimited number of fans you can have on your Facebook account. So just to be mindful, I mean, listen, that's a problem we'd all love to have, is have 5,000 friends on Facebook, right?
Yeah, I'm making a note there. I want to make sure I don't go over 5,000. Got it.
Well,
not tomorrow.
Facebook,
not tomorrow.
Twitter doesn't have a limit on that, does it? I mean, because I've seen people that have like 20,000 followers and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. So they don't have that same limit, which is, I guess, really great, right?
Yeah, you can have as many followers as you want with Twitter, and I know MC Hammer is really funny. You guys ought to follow MC. He's an absolute hoot. But he's got probably 14,000 last I checked a couple of days ago.
Man.
But there's
so
some funny people out there.
Your fam, MC Hammer, huh?
Yeah, MC at MC
Hammer.
He's still going strong, man. Still going strong. He's my role model.
Okay,
there's anybody else out there that's got some special tips and techniques or experiences they'd like to share with our listening audience? And for future reference, please call in on 347-945-6873. So, Tom, tell folks about your website and where they can go, or maybe how they can connect with you on Twitter if they want to. What's your user ID?
Yes, yeah, sure, absolutely. My user ID on Twitter is TomForce7. So you put the at sign and then TomForce7 and follow me. And I promise you won't be, you know, dulled out of your senses, because I bring out a lot of my humor and a lot of my funny side when I'm tweeting. So, you know, I'm always trying to poke at people, make fun, and provide some supposedly brilliant observations. So I try to bring a little brevity to the process. My website is www.newellfinancial.net. That's my day job, my brick and mortar, which is financial planning. And I work in a safe money environment. That's what I specialize in, is safe money. I don't work with the risky side of things. And so you can look me up there as far as what I do professionally in that arena.
Okay, well, great.
And my Facebook account just says, it's just Tom Newell at Facebook.
Okay, well, I'm going in there right now, I think, and maybe we'll be connected here before you know it.
Yeah, send me a friend's request, and I can reply to that when I get back to the office. What's nice about Twitter, too, is I've got it on my BlackBerry here, so if I wanted to, you know, if I could look at it while I'm talking, I could actually be posting tweets by using Tweetberry, which is another service. You have to go to the individual websites of these complimentary services and register using your same username and password. Then you connect back through Twitter, and there's TweetDeck, which is really nice also. Ken, I don't know if you've used that or not.
Not yet. I've looked at it,
mm-hmm.
but not as yet. I'm in front of my computer a lot, so.
Yeah. TweetDeck allows you to categorize your favorites, your responses, and it lines them all up so you see them all at one time. Mm-hmm. On the screen, which to me that's like overkill technically, because I'm not technically oriented. Some of my tech buddies are using it and they love it, but
so
I have to.
When you use these different applications, do they show up in your Twitter account, or do they show up in your Twitter account, or do they show up in other areas? I mean, do you have to go back to those separate websites to use them, or do they get integrated the way they do with Facebook?
They don't. Twitter is like at the center of the universe, and you can't tell what anybody else is doing when you're at Twitter. So these apps piggyback and ride off of Twitter's central database. So when you give them the username and password, the sub-app can go in, look in your Twitter account, grab the updates, pull them back out, and then distribute them back to you how you've chosen to receive them. So all of these peripherals really support Twitter, but Twitter doesn't support them per se.
Okay, well, then that's one of those differentiators with Facebook, because, you know, in Facebook, they, you know, they get integrated with the site. So sometimes I've found really good applications because I've been on somebody else's Facebook account, and I see this application. I'm like, well, that's interesting. How'd they get that application? And I'll go and request that application. And, like, one of the things I was struggling with a long time was how to get them so they weren't all on my profile page, and being able to put them over onto another page. And I finally figured out by looking at somebody else's site on how to rebuild the boxes tab on my site to be able to do that. So,
yeah, I'm having a problem with that too. I'm trying to get my blog post to stay up every time I open up my page, and it you know, I'll put it up there with the box and then it'll disappear. And I'm still trying to figure that blog post process out. Do you guys surf other people's friends lists by any chance? This is kind of a open conversation out there right now. Let's say, Karen, you were connected. You guys were talking about Obama. Let's say you're connected to Obama. He's on your friends list, but not on mine. So I'm surfing all your friends, and I see him. So I click on him and ask him to be my friend as a result of finding him on your friends list. So that's called surfing your friends lists.
Yeah, that's certainly a strategy or a tactic to use on a day-to-day basis. I mean, being a sales guy that I am, you're searching for more prospects to connect with, and certainly you can do that on Facebook. You can do that on Twitter also. So that's
mm-hmm.
another way of, I mean, in the past, you were, you know, looking at the yellow pages and ads and newspapers and magazines now, or articles. Now you can take a look at who you connect with on those various social networking sites and find out who they are and do searches. So you really got to focus time using technology to reach out and connect with people.
Yeah, I never thought it'd be this easy to get in touch with some of the top people in the industries. But with Twitter and everybody's so available now, one way or the other, there's probably nobody you really can't connect with if you want to bad enough.
Oh, it is so true. I mean, I have, my first one that I went, like, is this okay? Is this the right kind of protocol to be able to, like, just connect to Mark Victor Hansen and, you know, some of these folks that it's like, you know, you just find them and they're like, sure, connect, you know? I mean, Facebook has definitely got a, you know, whereas LinkedIn, people are like, oh, I don't know if I should forward somebody's thing or not, right? But in Facebook, you know, because you can look at their profile and see who they are and, you know, you're hoping that you're not connected with a mass murderer, you know, but you can connect and they reached out to you for some reason because of something that they saw. I think it's always best, you know, because people sometimes are a little nervous about just connecting with somebody they don't know, particularly if you don't have friends in common. I mean, I get connected with people, like I want to hear from somebody that I do not know this lady, but apparently we have 20 friends in common, so, you know, she must be okay, right? And so I think it's always good to send a message with it when you go ask to connect, say, hey, I saw you on so-and-so's friend list, and I thought we would have a lot in common, or I, you know, like that you like the same music, or something like that, and establish sort of a personal connection the same way if you were out networking and you were talking to somebody. So you can make it personal by just adding a couple of sentences to your message when you go to ask to connect, and I think it'll be much more effective in connecting with you know, a broader audience.
I like that a lot. And you know, another thing, too, is if you've got a fragile ego, be careful with the use of these things, because if you ask somebody to be your friend, you may not hear back from them for 4 or 5 days because they haven't even gone back to their Facebook account.
Oh, that's true. It took Ken about 3 weeks to accept my
invitation. I was supposed to. Yeah, I know. Because I look at, you know, Facebook, there were so many applications. I'm like, Twitter's easy for me. Okay, I got it, bam, because I got to focus on sales and profitability. And so, yeah, it's still to this day. And you mentioned, I said, oh, yeah, I see the poke here. I guess I'm supposed to poke it back.
Well, and the other thing, too,
I'm a little embarrassed. Embarrassed now. I said, it may be a little bit too late for me to poke her. Now she's like, now you're poking me? At, you know, I poked you 3 months ago.
Well, here, let's, you know, something I want to bring up, okay, because one of the things that I have a challenge with in Facebook, and I know you can create your make your profile closed or open, and so I just did a search on you, Tom, and your profile's closed. So, like, I, you know, it came up with actually 115 Tom Newells. And so it's kind of like, how do I find the one? Are you the one that's got a hood on with glasses, like you're in the soap thing?
Yes,
that's you?
That's me.
Okay.
Yep, that's
me. I figured it was because we have 7 mutual friends, but your link isn't live. I can't click on your profile to see if you're the guy in Atlanta and, you know, that kind of a thing. I think that's because one of the downsides of Facebook is that you can't search on, like, when you pull up Karen Rands, there's 100-some-odd of me, too. And I'm like, I didn't know there was that many of us, right? And so, you know, but you can't do Karen Rands Atlanta. You know, that's one of the downsides. So you kind of got to know who you're looking for. And sometimes when they put these pictures up there, you can't really tell who it is, you know. So so I'll go ahead and add you as a friend.
Yeah, a lot of times if I'm sending, you know, through Twitter, if I'm sending my link, I just, you know, I'm using short URL. I don't know if, did you guys talk that at all about shortening the URLs and how to clip those? And
I didn't mention that. That's called, there's a website called Tiny URL that you can access to. It could be a video or a long URL that you want to compose. And by using Tiny URL, you can consolidate or compact or shorten that URL and post it any place. So, yeah, that's a good.
Yeah, when you're working with only 140 characters, you want to maximize your content value of each tweet. And so truncating that link is a very, very important function. Twitter will do it automatically for you if it contains it in the box. But if it spills over, it won't do it for you. So you have to go to the Tiny URL site or there's 4 or 5 other ones. And let it do it for you, and then you take that new link and insert that into your tweet. The other thing is some of the guys are using it was just on the top of my brain. Ping FM and Ping FM. And I'm just peeking into this a little bit, but it consolidates all this as you were talking about earlier, so that when you do one shout out or you do one tweet, it updates everywhere for you. So Ping FM is like an aggregator of information, but it sends it out so you don't have to update all your sites, your Joomla and your Facebook and everywhere else. It does it automatically for you.
Well, and one of the things, too, that I found on, because Facebook, a lot of times they're getting live feeds on it or feeds their email, I was meeting with a client. I wanted to refer him to somebody that I thought could really help him. And, it was kind of like I could go and search through all of my databases trying to find his record, but I knew I was connected to him on Facebook. So I just went to Facebook, saw his picture, clicked on his picture, sent him a thing with the client sitting right there. Here's, his contact information, contact him. And I knew he would get it, and I could do it right away rather than trying to dig through and, figure it out, within my CRM system and some of the challenges in that area as
now,
well.
Karen, did you send him a message or did you post to his wall? Which
I did a message, and that's a big difference. I'm glad you brought that up because I was talking to somebody last night about that. I said, well, here's the thing. Wall, everybody in the world sees. So you don't want to do something real, personal or specific on the wall. That's more for fun. You're commenting on a picture or something like that. And then anything that other people post shows up on your wall. And if you want to communicate one-on-one with people, then you do it by sending them a message.
Yes, and same thing on Twitter, too. You've got a DM where you can direct message so that only their eyes see it versus the common feed. You guys probably talked about that.
No, go into that just a little bit as we begin to wrap up here. Because
well, that's real important. Let's say you and I can we connect on Twitter and we've got two or three little responses so forth so on, but we want to take the conversation to another level. We want to get it out of the public domain into the private domain. Look to your right hand side on your scroll bar. It says direct message. Click on that. Then you type in the person's name up in the top box, and if they're already following you, there's a drop-down box that you can just pick them off the list. And then you send them the message under the direct message side of the house, and only their eyes see it. And so you're able to do direct messages with Twitter, or you can do it in the open forum where everybody sees it.
Yeah, okay, I see that, where it's got the at replies and the direct messages. Is that what you're talking
about?
Yes,
click on the direct message, and you'll see an empty box pop up at the very top.
Yeah, because somebody sent me a direct message, so
okay.
I'm replying to her now and telling her to come on the show. But, I'm just,
And
then, I see send your list of the folks who are following you on that, My thing I want to try to figure out how to get more people to follow me, and I think that comes by following them, making comments on their site. I remember, Ken, you were telling about how you had been following Guy Kawasaki for a while, and then he finally started following you.
Right. I think one way that you get people to follow you is that you can put it in different places, like website, maybe your email signature, or when you're commenting on different blogs or websites. Put your Twitter ID in there, and people will find you. But if you post really good stuff, people will find you. People want to connect with you. But that's what happened. I looked at some of the top people that I wanted to connect with and follow what they're doing and learn from them. I just start following them, and they start following me. And what happens is, as Tom has stated, people will do searches or start looking at who is Guy Kawasaki following, or who is some of the other top profile people. And then they say, well, if this person's connected with Guy, then I think I should connect with Guy. I mean, connect with this person. And so you'll get another follower.
And another best way to do it is just ask him to follow you. Just, like if Guy will read your post, which, I follow Guy also, you just say, hey, how about following me so I can message you directly? And usually they're fine with that. They're, oh, no problem. Thanks for asking. And it works great.
Okay, so now how do you find people on – because when I go to try to find people on Twitter, all I can do is put in an email address and you get somebody like a Guy Kawasaki. Is that another application to be able to put in somebody's certain name?
That's a big rub. That's a big rub, the search function on Twitter.
Yeah, I always – if you go to twittergreater.com, it will list the Twitter elite. And also if you go to Twitter search, I think you could find different keywords, which is important, or the person's name and see if it pops up. But when I do
– it's a really poor – that search function's really poor.
We don't do that. So I always go to twittergreater.com. com and kind of get a grade. And then it also on the top heading, one of the sections is Twitter Elite and Twitter, and there's a search and there's a Twit Snip, which I don't know what that is, and there's groups too. So you have the ability, when they give you the grade, they give you suggested people to follow on the bottom, and then if you want to click on the Twitter Elite at the top, you click there and you can find out who's scoring 100 on Twitter. And then you can just, and how many, I think it's 100, the top 100 people in,
mm-hmm.
on Twitter. And yeah, it's 100 people. And so you can just go down the list. I like him, New York Times, yeah, Massable. CNN,
yeah.
Breaking News, News, you know. And that's what I
did. Well, in our world, Tom Beal. Guys like Tom Beal, Joel Comm, you know, guys in the internet marketing world are ranking up there too.
Right, right. But that's what you—that's how I use it, Karen. If I want to connect with some of the top people within Twitter, I go to twittergrader.com, do my grade. Right now it's 90, about I guess almost 97. Then I can look at some other people in the Twitter Elite, and you'll see it right on the top there.
Hey, let me tell you the funny one. You guys know Tim Ferriss, right? The four-hour work week?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go check him out. Go follow him. He's got like I don't know, 11,000 followers or 12,000 followers, and he follows nobody. I love this guy. He's got a zero.
Same thing with Hillary Clinton. She wasn't following anybody, and Barack was following more people. So that says, what does that communicate? That communicates, yeah, you're following me and you're okay, but you're not important enough for me to follow you.
Right,
now,
right.
Well, there's actually, we got another caller. So let's see who this is. I think this might be Andrew. We got about 10 or 15 minutes till we have to wrap this call up, but let me bring in, I think, is this Andrew? You're on 1517?
Yep.
Andrew Windham, welcome to the show. We've got Tom Newell and Ken Brown here. We've been going through lots of different applications and functions and ways to improve the usage of Twitter and Facebook and users for businesses and all that kind of stuff. But I know you have done a great job of creating a large group on Facebook and being able to promote certain products and things that you're doing. So tell folks a little bit, you know, what you do is your day job, and then kind of how you're using Facebook and some of your successes in doing that.
Sure. Well, I own Insurance Georgia and Tough Advisory Group, one of the largest national marketing organizations in the country, with helping folks build wealth teams and healthcare. And because I lead a group of financial and insurance professionals, you know, one of the reasons they are a part of our organization is because we're always trying to stay on the cutting, bleeding edge of everything going on. And, you know, I've only been on Twitter personally for about 2 months now, but in a month and a half, I built over 2,200 followers. And I've done that really like I built my business, one relationship at a time. And I think it's really important that people understand the purpose or the perspective of why the social media is going to continue to get bigger. And we really have an option, frankly. We can ignore what's going on, or we can decide to figure out how it can serve us and allow us to better serve others. And if you really think about in terms of business, or how can these platforms serve business, the first is that really probably our most profitable or beneficial relationships in business were not relationships that started out just so you could sell them something or you could do something to them. Usually there was common rapport and things in common. And so that's one of the ways that we're using Twitter and the social media platforms is to build a relationship first. We lead with our passions and try to reach out and invoke the law of reciprocity by supporting or helping other people. And then they share that, and it creates a viral following, if you will. And then that allows you to share your story at the appropriate time.
Sure. And so, you know, did you build your large following on Facebook? I mean, thanks for kind of summarizing a lot of what we've talked about as the reasons why people want to do it. I should have asked you to do that at the very end, because then that would have been a great wrap-up. did you Did you get your 2,000 plus friends in Facebook because you just went in there and loaded up your emails from your client base, or because you, you know, were doing things and people found you, or, you know, what was your secret to success for getting that large group of folks that care about what you are doing?
Well, I think you have to take all the social media platforms and you have to figure out where they can serve you. Facebook contributes the ability to use video, which is really the new up-and-coming way and the cutting-edge way to market. So, for instance, I went out and purchased a $175 flip camera, and it's about the size of a cell phone. And, you know, you guys talked about Plaxo earlier. A lot of people have their birthdays in Plaxo. So instead of sending just the generic Plaxo card, I actually kind of a secret I haven't shared, but I'll share it today, is that I actually do a quick 30, 45-second video happy birthday to all of my folks, and I send that out. And then they share the video with other people, and people jump in. Or
oh, and then they want to connect with you because you send them this cute little video that they
have
on their wall
now.
I see.
Yeah, absolutely. Or I'm doing a series right now that I'm just doing just to contribute. It's called A Lift, and it stands for Authentic Leadership, Intentional Focus, and Transformation. And so I do a summary there, and then I just, you know, once every 4 or 5 days, I just talk a little bit around expounding what being authentic means in terms of a social and relational setting are. And people share that. They get inspired by that. They pass the video on. But the other thing that happens in Facebook, and you can actually cross-market between the two, but in Facebook, your friends or your followers on Facebook, they get streams in their homepage. And so one of the tricks that you can use with Facebook is you can go out and do a video. And I've got several folks that are really good friends. You don't want to just tag people to videos for anything. But I've got several really well-connected good friends like Jack Canfield and those kinds of folks from The Secret, and they're okay with me tagging their name to the video because they get so many feeds that go up, they like to keep up with what I'm doing and vice versa. And so if I put a video up, I'll tag Jack Canfield, for instance, in the video. And now anybody who is marking in their favorites that they want feeds of what Jack's up to, for instance, then they get that feed of my video because he's marked it as one of his top preferences. And so then people begin to follow me as a result of that synergy relationship with Jack. Very similar like what Tom and you guys were talking about earlier in terms of followers on Twitter. And
can I ask you a question about that tagging process? Do you actually go onto the video and you put your cursor over that person and then tag them that way?
Correct.
I know you do that with the still photographs.
Correct. You do the same with the video, and here's actually I discovered this by mistake. I'd read Seth Godin's book, Tribes. If you haven't read it, phenomenal book. And I wanted to just put together, I was looking for 3 to 4 people that wanted to have some conversation around Tribes. So I was brand new on Twitter, been there about 2 weeks, went out and said, hey, look, just read Seth Godin's book, Tribes. Phenomenal book. Anybody read it? I had 23 followers I added inside an hour off of that one thing because that was a hot topic that was not on my radar screen of people. And then out of that, I formed a 3 or 4 person mastermind that, you know, that kind of spread like wildfire. And before you know it, I'm having conversation with a lot of like-minded people around that. Then I simply did a video talking about Tribes.
Nice.
Put the little video up there, linked it back to YouTube, and then also a separate link back to Facebook. And before you know it, you know, I've got a Facebook page with, you know, talking about Tribes. And you use a little common sense also and think about, you know, what kind of people are reading Tribes. It's not typically the guy who's working, you know, for $15,000 to $20,000 in a, you know, day-to-day job. It's usually somebody who's a little more forward-thinking, entrepreneurial in style, and so you can use some common sense in those kind of things too.
Yeah, it is so important that you really focus on what you're doing. I always talk about focus. If it's, you know, sales and profitability, sit down and at least 1 hour a day, ask yourself, is what I'm doing right now increasing sales? Is it increasing my profitability? And some of the ideas that you mentioned, you know, tribes and using videos, it helps you really focus. Okay, what am I? I'm trying to get in front of the people who are going to say yes to me. They're a good fit. That's an excellent way of doing that. If you want to attract people to you, you got to do things that are different from the ordinary besides picking up the phone or going to a networking function. You got to stand out. And those are good examples, great examples, how you have stood out from people.
You know, one other thing I want to put a plug in for is I did the first major tweet up in Atlanta about 3 weeks ago. And that was another thing that just happened by mistake. I kept seeing things on TweetUps, and I'd do a search on Twitter, and I looked at, you know, the wikis mm-hmm. on the web and trying to figure out what the heck was a TweetUp. And so then finally I couldn't find anything, and I said, well, what the heck is a TweetUp? And, you know, even the guy Kawasaki's of the world are going, well, you know, I don't really know. I think it's kind of like a networking thing, right? And so then I had one or two people that had responded and said, well, I've been to one or two. And so I said, well, what do you do? And so basically I surmised from the feedback that I got that TweetUps were basically networking opportunities or associations, okay, of people who were on Twitter, Facebook, et cetera. So I said, what the heck? Let's do a TweetUp. I, you know, tweeted incessantly about it for about 7 days on and off leading up to it a couple weeks ago. And we had it. We actually piggybacked it on another marketing event that a local internet entrepreneur was hosting, Marketing Madness, Matt Basak. And we had 20 people, despite that Friday, Thursday, there was pouring down rain, traffic was horrendous, and we still had 20 people, which was pretty good for a first one. I've had four requests to come to San Diego, Los Angeles, Dallas, and in Cincinnati, Ohio, to do a tweet up. And so now I'm a professional tweet-up expert because I've done one. And so the message there is that try stuff, one. But the second is that we're in a time of tremendous change. And you know, I think that's one of the reasons that President-elect Obama was able to garner such a following and successfully won the presidency is because – he was able to instill in folks and have folks believe that he was about change, because we're not happy with the result, and so if we're not happy with the result we have now, we have to change. And in times of change, leaders are at a premium because they create transformation, or at least the sense of transformation and movement away from what we don't like towards something that we do. And so,
very well said.
In standing out, leadership is the key, but it has to be authentic. It can't be for an ulterior motive, or otherwise people see through it.
Right, absolutely. I think that was what you were saying about people saying about, I think maybe it was you, Tom, saying that people selling stuff nonstop. I think what ends up happening is that you're trying, just like with internet marketing or anything else, and now internet marketing is kind of old school compared to this other stuff, but if you abuse it, people will want to be not get your emails or not communicate with you. And so if you're on Twitter or Facebook and you abuse it because you're, you know, sending, you know, obviously non-appropriate stuff to people, or, you know, mundane stuff they could care less about, and you do it like every hour or whatever, then people are going to not follow you anymore, or they're going to block you, or they're going to do this stuff just like they can do in the regular email world. And whatever the goodwill you've created, you can lose if you abuse it, just like anything else.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. Even I was going to tell you guys about Warren. Even Warren had a situation where he had sent out a mail to people in Facebook, and Facebook shut his account down because they said he was abusing the system. And he had only sent out just a couple of you know, notes to all of his friends in the list to make it convenient. And they shut his account off. So you've got to be careful with this stuff. It's not to be, you know, it's like fire. You got to play with it carefully.
Right. Exactly.
Hey, Karen, I have a question. You have this, I guess you've had this frustration because everybody is in business for themselves. And so I just want to put out a question. I have an answer for it, and I'll chime in later. But how do you manage this? Because you got to run a business. So how do you juggle this new media and the social media thing? I'll just put that out there. how are people doing it? Do they come in an hour a day or 30 minutes or
I think
a day of the week?
For me, it depends on what's going on in the mix of everything else. You have to keep a big picture. It's very easy to get drawn in and spend 3-4 hours on Twitter, and so I try to be careful. You know, it's kind of like I don't look at my email first thing in the morning. I look at it at lunch and the end of the day, just because if I get drawn into email, then I personally get addicted to looking at email, waiting for, you know, the inbox to ring for me. So I don't usually do Twitter in the morning, but I allot about 45 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on what's going on. And then the other thing that I do that allows me to contribute to the social universe is there's a program called Blip, B-L-I-P, .fm.
Yeah.
And people connect with music. And so I'll go out, like on Fridays, I do Fun Tune Fridays. And once an hour on the hour, I go out and I find a favorite song for something that's kind of jazzy or whatever, and I toss it out there with a little message. Like this morning I did by the Black Eyed Peas, Let's Get It Started. Meaning, you know, let's get our Friday started and get the weekend, you know, get the weekend here sooner. And I pick up followers like that, and people say, hey, thanks for the pick-me-up and the music. But most of my time that I spent, guys and folks, with the social media networks, I took personal time that I have on the weekends that I'm not normally working 2-3 hours while I'm sitting watching little NFL football.
Yeah, and, that's how I do it.
And I spend a little time doing it then because you gotta. It's all about balance, or at least equilibrium, if you will. And so you don't want to spend time doing the social media. Tim Ferriss says the reason he doesn't follow anybody is because he decides to follow people in the real world. That's his rationale. And you can agree or disagree with that, but I will tell you, I've had 3 interviews on well-followed people's radio shows, blog talk radio like this, because of social media. And so don't discount the network that you can expand through that. But that's how I manage it.
I would agree with that. I mean, you schedule a certain time. I like to do it because it does suck your time. I mean, one thing about all these, the Twitter and the Facebook, is that you can all of a sudden, you know, my 20-minute update, I'm like, oh, that person's doing that. Oh, I didn't know they were going to do that. You know, and I'm like into it in an hour. I look at the clock and go, oh, my God, what happened? Where'd that hour go? So I like doing it when I'm, you know, multitasking by, you know, being a vegetable on the couch watching TV, and I'm not being just a vegetable because I'm being productive in my social communities, right? So, you know, that's how I do it a lot of times. And try to, you know, get in there and do some of that stuff because I don't really feel like, you know, communicating, you know, in a real serious thing. I can just point and click and do some search and do some of that kind of stuff and have some fun with it as well. So, but we've got to wrap up here. So, Tom, why don't you, you know, say whatever kind of productivity tool. Well, one thing I want to add, too, is that, you know, we've got, there's also one of the things we talked about in this broadcast are all these different other tools that are now been developed for Twitter and Facebook that help you be productive to put something in one place and let it be broadcast in a bunch of places and even to the thing that's up on the top of your, the micro blogs, be able to put something into a up on your web browser that will update everything. So there's lots of tools out there to help you manage that. So, Tom, you want to take we got just about 5 minutes left, and take a minute or so to give up your last closing thought on using these Facebook, Twitter communities.
Sure, happy to. I can only say the highest of regard to all the people that are in the process of inventing and designing and creating and changing these tools to make them more productive. But I for one, am just completely captivated by it. I'm enjoying connecting with people that I would have never dreamed possible, you know, being a part of their lives. So, I mean, it's enriched me to such a high degree in quality. It's brought a quality to my life that it, rather than just business or rather than just trying to, you know, use this as another tool per se, it's a real value add in terms of the experience that I'm having, you know, in my business life, in my personal life. And you know, that's how I'd like to leave it, is to let people know that it's not something you have to struggle over or you have to do this or you have to master this to succeed in business. It's something really, if it becomes pleasurable, it's going to enhance the quality of your life a great deal.
And share your website again for your brick and mortar?
Sure, www.newellfinancial.net, and I'm the safe money guru. I don't lose anybody's money.
And what's your Twitter account name?
Tom Force 7, like Air Force. Tom Force 7.
Okay. And Andrew, what's your website?
My website's insurancegeorgia.com, and my my Twitter username is TUF Advisor, Tough Advisor, TUFADVISOR. And also hosting a tweet up at the Marietta Dallas Highway Starbucks Monday night from 6 to 8. If you want to come out, I've bent the manager's arm backward, twisted a little bit, and gotten some free coffee. So come join us for some meet up and networking and free coffee right before the holidays.
Okay. And Ken, let's take a minute to wrap it up on your website, your Twitter ID, and your how people can find out more information about you.
Yes, this is Kenneth Darrell Brown. Website is Better Sales and Profits Now. Better Sales and Profits Now. Your first and foremost, your first priority is to sell. Nobody cares about how great you are in terms of expert, but you got to sell and sell that idea and sell your products and services. So selling is so very important. After you sell, what's important is that you've got to run your business profitably. You don't run your business profitably, then you won't have a business for very long. So check out Better Sales and Profits Now. That's Better Sales and Profits Now. My Twitter ID is KenE3C. That's KenE3C, and that's how you can reach me on Twitter. And I will throw out an offer. Anybody's interested in a free sales and profitability analysis using my calculator, E3C ROI calculator, I'll give you a consultation no cost. So check that out. And the question I asked about digital quotient is that when you're trying to manage all this stuff, why not assign a point system? Maybe it's 10 points or 20 points a day to kind of figure out what you should do on the new media thing, whether it's a news release or a podcast or commenting on a blog. If somebody's interested in checking out the digital quotient, then certainly contact me through the website or through the blog.
Okay, great.
Thank you so very much, Karen.
Sure thing. I'm glad all of y'all were able to join us. This is Spec Talk Radio. Karen Rand's host here with Ken Brown, Tom Newell, and Andrew Windham. We're going to be taking the next two Fridays off for the holidays. Wish everybody a happy holiday. And, you know, if you're not online on Twitter or Facebook, get there. Get connected with one of us, and we'll open you up to our communities. And, you know, it's all about, as Ken said, it's all about making the money and using better sales and sales strategies. And then with Tom, keeping your money by good investment strategies. And I guess Andrew can protect your money with good insurance strategies. So there you go.
What a team.
And I'll help you find the money. I'll show you how to find the money.
Show
me the money.
This is real interesting. Just really show you how this works. As I was on this call, I got a request from Blog Talk Radio. I'm like, who is TUFA Advisor? I said, who is this? And it's Andrew. And then he also said, hey, connect with me on Twitter. So now we're connected.
There you go.
This is great. This is an example of what happens in the new media stuff.
Okay.
Now I know who you are, Andrew.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
Thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in and listening to Spec Talk Radio, and we'll see you and talk to you in the new year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Peace.